You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So as part of his coursework for a Level 3 communications course, Trishel will be creating three story packages to broadcast on The Wire this semester. This week, Trishel focuses on burnout, what it means, how it affects people, and what you can do to cope with it. Here is Trishel Dyer's first package piece.
Cases of burnout have increased over the pandemic, with an estimated 210 million individuals across the globe being affected. The World Health Organization classifies the experience as a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It is characterized by three dimensions: feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job, or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job, and reduced professional efficacy. I spoke to two different therapists on the matter, Crystal O'Neill from Crystal Rose Counseling and Mo Nathan from Renew Your Mind, to discuss how burnout manifests itself and affects different individuals, especially those predisposed to stress and anxiety. I first interviewed Crystal, asking whether she noted an increase in burnout cases since the first lockdown March last year.
Typically, burnout has kind of a cumulative effect that's associated with, you know, prolonged work stress or workplace stress. But I guess what I've kind of seen more of post-COVID was a combination of the parenting and carer stress kind of coming to the fore, along with the work obligations and that having impact on people. So just kind of not getting a break, and then this having those flow-on effects to the interpersonal relationships and friends and whānau. So yeah, I don't think I've ever worked with people who've experienced work burnout and it doesn't somehow impact their relationships or their parenting roles. And what I've also kind of seen is people presenting with what they assume or think could be kind of depression and anxiety. And once that's kind of unpacked a little, it sometimes is revealed, you know, underneath the iceberg that really there's been a prolonged exposure to stress and the impacts of COVID. So some of my clients, you know, have lost people to COVID overseas. They're grieving, they've experienced kind of geographical separation. And some have also experienced kind of trauma in relation to returning to Aotearoa suddenly, for example. So there's lots going on around that. Uncertainty has a relationship to psychological stress. So whenever uncertainty is hanging over our heads, which is most certainly happening, I mean, we're here in Level 4 at the moment, this can be really difficult and it can lead to a sense of burnout or kind of living in, I guess, a survival mode, which is really the fight or flight response becoming a part of our daily life, and that can be really fatiguing.
I then prompted Mo with the same question.
In the context of COVID, could definitely talk about burnout or a fatigue in the sense of being overwhelmed by isolation or, if you will, cabin fever, being stuck with the same people in a household. Sometimes the dynamics are difficult. And sometimes people, definitely the frontline health workers, it would be very relevant to talk about burnout in their case, because that's indeed their work, and so they may experience burnout when the more in other countries than in New Zealand, where there's the health system is overwhelmed by people who turn up at the hospital. So there'll be burnout definitely over there.
We then discussed what signs should be looked out for when one suspects they are close to burning out. Here's what Crystal had to say on the matter.
You know, to me, burnout always presents along some kind of a continuum. So people tend to start with the kind of smaller things, the lack of interest, they're feeling irritable, they've lost motivation or inspiration, they're a bit tired, and then that kind of moves along to bigger things, and physical health issues are sometimes manifestations or somatizations of stress and burnout. So I'd really encourage you just to be paying attention to what's going on in your body. If you're feeling dull or heavy, you know, you're getting headaches more, changes in appetite, that kind of thing. Sometimes people also talk about changes in their behaviour, and so paying attention to behaviour is quite important, particularly with children and partners, because the impacts of burnout are sometimes externalised to others, such as kind of angry outbursts or wanting to shake yourself away, and those are signs that people are further along in that kind of burnout continuum. You know, with COVID, the primitive brain has a lot of trouble making decisions when we're exposed to threats or fear. So, you know, for that reason, people are reporting a lot of impacts on their concentration and feeling sluggish, and their decision-making abilities being impacted, sometimes even executive functioning, which is essentially just carrying out, you know, what it is that you need to carry out, having difficulty with some of those things. I definitely say, though, Trishel, that changes in sleep are of a real concern further along that continuum, and they're a real biggie, because if people are waking up in the night and they're worrying and ruminating, not feeling rested, you know, and they're exhausted or overwhelmed, that's a lot further along. But once your sleep goes, you can end up in a really vicious cycle going on.
Here's what Mo had to say.
And the symptoms they might experience for being in a state of burnout could be physiological, things like even pains, headaches, stomach ache, nausea. They might experience insomnia or other physical signs. That's on the physiological level. On the psychological level, they might experience a decreased level of concentration or increased forgetfulness. They might have an inexplicable change of attitude, such as they find themselves more cynical or resentful. They're feeling helpless, hopeless, unappreciated, worthless, and trapped. And more angry, worried, tense, on edge, and often irritable, anger burst outs, and impatience. So that's these are all psychological symptoms.
We also touched on the demographics that are most likely to experience burnout. Here's what Crystal had to say on the matter.
There's quite a few groups who have been significantly more significantly impacted by COVID. One being women. So in Aotearoa, we know that women and girls are disproportionately kind of affected by COVID. There's been kind of greater job loss, greater loss of income, increased gender-based family violence, and that's a huge issue, you know, in itself, as well as increased caring responsibilities. And women are sometimes already doing the lion's share of household responsibilities, tasks, and childcare as it is. You know, last year, post-lockdown level four, we had 90% of the job losses being women, and there's vulnerabilities related to their employment type as well. So, you know, for example, just off the top of my head, there's around 70% of hospitality workers are female, for example. So, yeah. And I can't speak for everyone, of course, but existing inequalities for women become exacerbated by COVID impacts. So, people with vulnerabilities around things like their socioeconomic status, their minority status, for example, people with disabilities, people in the rainbow community, anyone kind of living with the impacts of colonisation and or immigration, refugee status, for example, people experiencing racism, you know, they all tend to be impacted more heavily by what's going on in the COVID kind of environment. And I think lastly that people, anyone can experience burnout, but the people that I've seen who've been experiencing those kind of COVID effects are the people generally in helping or caring positions. And I'm not just talking about, you know, nurses and doctors and counsellors, but people in call centres, people in supermarket jobs, people in any capacity who are working and assisting people during COVID-19. And yeah, there's a real sense of kind of overwhelm and fatigue that can come about as a result. And I, you know, I went down to Ōtautahi Christchurch post the mosque attacks to do a little bit of trauma related work sometime later, and remember a kind of similar burnout kind of long term trauma response that was apparent as well, which is quite reminiscent of what's going on with this wider COVID environment.
Here's what Mo had to say.
Last year there was a study at AUT about burnout, and they found that they think that about 11% of New Zealand workers might be experiencing a burnout, actually, so which is quite a large number. And if you ask about the demographics, in my immediate experience, I'd agree with that study that it's mostly younger people, so in their 20s, high achievers. On one hand, on the other hand, it's more managers than or employers than employees, because of course people are owning their business or manage get sometimes so invested in their work that they lose sight of a work-life balance situation. But in terms of employees, you could say that it's certainly more the younger people who are perhaps still in a state of wanting to improve themselves and high achievers. In my practice, it's been more women than men, but and that's not reflected in that study that I mentioned, a UT study, but it could, that may well be also because women reach out for support more than men do.
We also discussed the experiences they have both shared as therapists experiencing their own forms of burnout. Here's what Crystal had to say on the matter.
I've been really fortunate to be able to move around different areas, jobs, settings, contracts quite frequently, just as a way of keeping myself fresh and interested. But I do just want to acknowledge that my ability to move around comes from a place of privilege, though, really, and that being Pākehā and educated means that I can navigate new territory and take risks to move jobs. And I just want to acknowledge that so many people just don't have the luxury of doing that due to their individual situations, especially during COVID. So in terms of, you know, real time, what I do now, I'm really careful to engage in really regular supervision or external supervision, which is basically just where I go and talk to supervisors who are people who offer me guidance and support in my role. So I'm really lucky to have some supportive and non-judgmental supervisors, as well as family and friends. And I love spending time with my children, you know, and having a bit of a laugh. So. Yeah, absolutely love my job. I'm really fortunate to have a job that I do, and I have a huge sense of reward from it. But as a therapist, you know, there's a couple of really crucial self-care tools that I use. One is that I'm cautious around my exposure to media, movies, and even books, just to kind of limit too much traumatic information coming my way. The other one is that I'm really mindful of my client capacities.
Here's what Mo had to say.
A few days a week, I work on Waiheke Island at an agency that specializes in domestic violence. So that's one of the things I do. And there was a survey tool they gave us, a questionnaire we had to fill. And it turns out, and I found out that I was moderately burnt out. So you can be moderately burnt out or severely burnt out. In fact, the state of burnt out is something that creeps on you, because it's something that happens over time. It's not an overnight thing. You're not one day not burnt out and suddenly you are burnt out. Burnout is something that builds up. And yeah, it was found that I was moderately burnt out myself. Yeah, so it's true. Having to support or choosing this line of work where I support people who are going through different challenges, and it can take its toll. But I think in that sense, and some people call that compassion fatigue.
And to round out this discussion, Crystal and Mo both detailed the methods they recommend for dealing with burnout. I first spoke to Crystal on the matter.
Self-care is an interesting one, because in my work, I've seen the real-time effects of poverty and vulnerability in our communities. And I've tended to kind of notice that there's quite a lot of almost patronising messaging around what self-care should look like. And it kind of tends to boil down to privilege and time and money that some people just don't have. So things like, you know, pampering and getting a massage and going to the gym, and it just doesn't apply. It just doesn't resonate with a good proportion of people. You know, students who are working part-time on top of study, working parents hitting the floor at 5 o'clock to make dinner. Don't even get me started on single or solo parents, you know. So it's important to make this work for you and be specific to you.
I then followed up with Mo and his recommendations.
It's very important to be able to set healthy boundaries and achieve a better life, work-life balance, right? So a lot of people are not actually very skilled at setting healthy boundaries, or are not aware of this idea of setting healthy boundaries at their work or their life. And some people like to be to please and like to be helpful, and some other people like to be very high achievers and perfectionists, and then they work themselves you know, to the ground. And so it's about achieving more balance, setting healthy boundaries, then having a healthier lifestyle is very helpful.
Auckland University students are entitled to 6 therapy sessions free of charge with university health and counselling during their time of study. Otherwise, Crystal, Mo and a host of other therapists can be found by searching their details on talkingworks.com.
That was Trishul Dyer's first piece that he has created for The Wire. It was a package on burnout. Thank you so much for that, Trishul.